Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello and welcome to Help on Arrow FM 92.7. I am your host, Abby.
And her counterpart, Michael.
Thank you for tuning in and joining us today as we talk about topics that we feel need to have a little bit more airtime, a little bit more space in our world to be spoken about.
Excellent. It's always good when you bring the topics and I am completely unaware of what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. Although I should be because we talked about it last week.
Yeah, it was at the end. This is what we're talking about next week. And so Help is also connected to the Ruth Project Wairarapa. That is a local charity where we support parents who are going through perinatal mental distress. However, our show is a little bit broader. We're not just focusing on perinatal mental distress. So before we jump into today's show, can you remember what we chatted about last week, Michael?
We talked about parental burnout is what we talked about.
That's right.
Because a topic we talked about a few times before, but it's always good to cover and learn some new, have some different thinking and always bring awareness to it. I think these are constant topics you need to keep raising so people learn and be aware of it and not forget.
That's right. And I think one of the takeaways that has stuck with me all week after we had a kōrero about it was that burnout is, what was it? Like, it was said how like there was stress.
Stress can lead to burnout.
Yeah, like I had a really good word about it, like something stress. But anyway, the idea is that burnout is basically stress that's been not dealt with, and it's just built up, and talked about the difference between stress and burnout. So stress, when you recognize, oh, today was a really stressful day, you can find a way of kind of releasing that and being free of stress, whereas burnout is more than that, and it takes a little bit longer to be able to heal from that space.
Yeah, so that whole, you need to be intentional about getting the healing rather than just thinking it will happen.
Yeah. Okay, so this week, interesting topic, postnatal depletion. It's not just baby blues.
Yeah.
So I personally have an issue with the whole baby blues being taught to parents. I think that it is, this is me personally, I think that it is a phrase we need to get rid of. I don't like it, but I think we should, this is a personal opinion, I think we should talk more about this today rather than just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear what you're saying, and I think the reason you're saying it is because it's often got that connotation of, like, it's not that bad, just get over it kind of vibe, which is pretty, I mean, I'm going to say it's a little bit archaic in terms of how.
Yeah, the reason it annoys me so much is that if there is a mother or a father that is feeling low or, I guess maybe in a more depressed state after having baby, and you're told, oh, don't worry, it's just the baby blues, it will go away. How do you know if it is just the baby blues? Because sometimes depression, perinatal depression, can start before baby's even born.
Yeah.
That was an experience that we had. And when you say, oh, no, it's just baby blues, it'll go away, you're actually dismissing what that parent is saying and not creating a space to really listen.
Yeah.
Oh, why are you feeling this way? Now, yes, there are hormones and all sorts going on in your body when you become a new parent. And yes, that is going to contribute to your feelings being inconsistent and all over the place. And there's sleep deprivation and there's being overwhelmed. There's so many different factors. But I think when you use the words baby blues, oh, it's fine, we all get it, don't worry about it, you're immediately taking away the need to actually walk that parent through those feelings.
Yeah, definitely. I think the word I was going to use there is it doesn't validate the emotions or feelings of what's actually going on.
Yeah.
And by not validating it, it makes it like I said, dismissing. It just shuts down so much conversation or so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it allows something to just grow, which is not healthy.
Yeah, that's right. So that's my thing around the baby blues stuff. But that's, we're not talking about that. We're talking about postnatal depletion. It's not just the baby blues. Why does this matter? Well, many parents experience postnatal depletion but don't realize it's an ongoing condition, not just the initial baby blues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we get too far into this, just a little disclaimer to remind you all that this is not medical advice coming from Michael and I, but this is a discussion based on research and personal experience and also experts' insights. So we're just bringing a conversation to the table. We're not telling you what you should and should not do.
Yeah. Hopefully, all we really want is to get you guys thinking, be made aware of what to research, what to look into, more than anything, really.
All right, so what is postnatal depletion? Well, postnatal depletion is a condition affecting mothers and birthing parents due to the intense physical, emotional, and mental demands of pregnancy, birth, and early parenting. I would also, for just from our experience and even the experience of working in the Ruth Project, I would extend this to the other parent. I would extend this to dads and the other parents. It may, the depletion, the postnatal depletion might not necessarily set in for them, you know, right after birth or right after you've come out of hospital. It could set in for them a little bit later, and it will make sense to you when we talk about what is postnatal depletion. When we go through this, it'll make sense that actually this topic, this I don't want to say issue, but I guess like this condition that you could find yourself in definitely can apply to the other parent later on.
Yeah. I guess, I've got an example of what I often, when I'm talking to someone about this, what I often use, which I can share right now.
Sure, go for it.
And I want to be very careful because although I might be likening the actual birth of a child to a different thing, I'm not saying it is. I'm just trying to phrase it. So it's like when you do a marathon, a big run, or somewhere you have an event where you have exerted a lot of energy.
Yeah.
After that event, you normally have that recovery period, might be a couple of days where you can just rest, get your body back into to being okay. When you have a child, for both sides, you go through that big event, but then because you have the child who's dependent on you, as often you're sleeping, your whole life has shifted, and so getting that rest isn't necessarily as easy to do, which is why, to me, it can lead quite easily into depletion, which is why it is really important, because big sight on the person who had the child, who had the baby, but it's why often the partner can feel it, because they've been supporting, their whole life has all changed as well. And so it's just that big event that both sides trying to recover from, it's all just changed.
Yeah, and it's not a comparison. Both parents are walking through very different changes. So these things impact them differently. And it's about finding the balance and harmony in the home and acknowledging each other's needs.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is a difference between postnatal depletion and postpartum depression. So postnatal depletion is chronic fatigue, brain fog, and emotional exhaustion. Postpartum depression includes severe mood changes, hopelessness, and sometimes difficulty bonding with the baby. I feel that postnatal depletion, when it is not dealt with, can definitely lead into postpartum depression. And again, there are statistics showing that dads can also end up in postpartum depression. And I remember when I first heard this, there was a person in the room who had said, how do they end up with that? They're not the ones who've had the babies and pushed them out and done all of that. But when you learn what postnatal depletion is, or you could even call it new parent depletion, you can then connect the dots as to, well, postnatal depression does happen in dads because they are also getting depleted in this time. It just looks really different. Because obviously mamas have the physical aspect of their bodies changing and going through the 9 months of carrying baby and giving of their body to baby and then bringing baby into the world and breastfeeding. So there is a very physical, emotional and mental toll that is happening on mama as well. So Dr. Oscar Cyrillac, he is the author of The Postnatal Depletion Cure. This is a book we actually recommend and gift to a lot of our clients. Dr. Oscar is a GP, well, he was a GP in Australia, and when his partner was having their baby and going through the process, it was really through that process he realized and kind of explored postnatal depletion. And now he specializes in this area of wanting to create a space where mamas can find, I guess, like they can replenish themselves after having babies. So he's written this book, and it's an awesome book called The Postnatal Depletion Cure. It's like a tool book. You don't have to read it from front to back. You can take out sections and read it as you need to based on the topic. But anyway, in his research, he found that many mothers experience depletion for how many years after childbirth? What do you reckon?
I'm going to have three.
For up to 7 years after childbirth.
Jeez.
Due to nutrition loss, sleep deprivation, and psychological strain.
Jeez. That's
so,
a long time.
And then when you think about that, like, I actually resonate with this. Like, when we look at our journey as parents and look at my journey through postpartum depression, and we had 2 miscarriages, and then we also had 3 babies in a short time.
Mm. And well, like our youngest is only 8 now.
So
outside of that.
And to be honest, it probably has only really been in the last year that I have really shifted and feeling like a normal person again. So I think that is incredible, up to 7 years after childbirth.
Yeah, I think it just goes to show you that some things do take a long time to get right. And I think in a world where we so frequently want to just have things instant and, you know, that instant gratification, just having everything basically at fingertip because you've got a phone, you're so connected. And so it's a very fast-paced world that we live in. And so quite often it's just wanting that instant fix. And I think this is why we end up with a whole lot of different medications that come in our ways, because you're trying to use that as a way to fix yourself. When the reality is, some of these things, it will take time, and time is the thing that's going to heal it rather than other aspects. Like there are definitely techniques, there's different things, awareness, things you can do, but ultimately, time is what is going to get things right.
Exactly. And then when you think about it, if you're in a situation where, you know, your family is in an unhealthy space or your relationship's in an unhealthy space and you haven't got that environment to be able to heal, of course this depletion's just going to keep, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, mind blown about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are the signs and symptoms of postnatal depletion? So the physical signs are chronic fatigue, hair loss, a weakened immune system. Oh my gosh, I'm like tick, tick, tick. digestive issues, tick. Because that was something I noticed, like getting sick all the time. And pre-children, yeah. I never got sick. I barely took time off work for being sick.
Just blame it on the kids.
Yeah.
Although we also through this, because, I mean, you say before this, we never took time off for being sick. Agreed. But then we also through this learned how important it is to actually take time off when you're sick.
That is true.
And because I remember there was times where we probably should have taken time off.
Probably should have.
I'm tough.
Suffered through work, made everyone else sick. Okay, so they're the physical signs, cognitive and emotional signs, brain fog, forgetfulness, feeling emotionally drained, increased anxiety, irritability, or overwhelm. Tick, 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 tick.
You were never irritable. I never irritated you.
You still irritate me. Especially when you're eating. Stop it. Okay, behavioural signs. Difficulty coping with daily tasks. Social withdrawal. Feeling like you've lost yourself.
So you're playing hide and seek with yourself. Sorry.
Thanks for that.
That's all right.
Okay, so a study in Nutrients Journal 2020 found that iron, zinc, DHA, which is omega-3, and vitamin D deficiencies contribute to postnatal depletion symptoms.
Hmm.
So that's iron.
Interesting.
Which a lot of us know
about
iron, because that's often something that when we're going through the midwife and the doctors and we get blood tests, we're often getting tested for is our iron. Zinc is not someone, not someone.
Not so, no, it's zinc
not
is not
someone that I hang out with.
I mean, let's be honest, in today's world, there probably is someone called zinc.
There probably is, but zinc is one that I don't think I've ever spoken to a health professional about. Omega-3 is definitely something that has been mentioned, and then vitamin D, but not necessarily understanding what roles these nutrients and minerals have in our body. Now, Dr. Oscar's book, The Postnatal Depletion Cure, he goes into explaining about each of these, and he talks about how they benefit our bodies and why we need them and what happens when we are depleted in some of these things. So he also tells you what tests to be asking for, because that's the other thing, is that I know for myself, when I went to the doctor, I just assumed they would know what tests to test me for. But what I've learned is that you can actually go into the doctor and say, I want you to test me for everything, or I want you to test me for this, this, and this, and see if I'm depleted in these things. You can request that to be done, rather than just assuming that they know to do that.
Yeah. Because that's a really, really important part where, you know, when we go to doctors, especially GPs, they might specialize in an area, but it doesn't necessarily mean they are fully up to play with all the mental health side of things or pregnancy side, all that stuff. They might actually have, like, really interested in skin diseases. So
exactly.
So it's not to try to criticize them that they're not doing their job. It's more the fact that we go into GP thinking they should be all on the even playing field, and the reality is they're not. And so, and then equally, some that have been there for a very long time don't necessarily know all the new stuff. So it's just being aware of what you can ask for.
Yeah. And that it's okay. And actually, doctors don't mind. When I've asked for things, the doctors haven't mind. And some we've ended up having great conversations about it, because I've been able to say, well, this is what I've researched, this is what I know. And they're like, oh, that's really interesting. Oh, that makes sense. And you end up kind of having this great conversation. And my hope is that it sparks them off to do their own research and look a little bit further into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are the causes of postnatal depletion?
Having a baby. Sorry.
And done.
So avoid this. Don't have children.
Okay. Okay, so Nutrient depletion, which we were kind of touching on before. So pregnancy and breastfeeding drain key vitamins and minerals out of your system. We kind of know this, but again, I think this is one of those types of conversations that need to be had a little bit more in the antenatal space, or in that, you know, when you're in your hapū pregnancy space, is really talking about what nutrients are we are getting sucked out of us into these babies. You know, we talk about cravings and we talk about food aversions, and you know, I started to realize that your cravings actually are your body knowing that it's lacking something and wanting more of it. And so you're kind of seeking it from these different foods.
Yeah.
And so I think that's an area that we could actually kind of have a lot more awareness in, is what type of nutrients do we need to be looking at constantly replenishing ourselves with while we're pregnant, so that we're getting enough for us and enough for baby, rather than kind of just going with the flow, eating whatever, and then being completely, you know, depleted because we haven't filled ourselves with what we're needing.
Yeah, because like even just thinking about deficiencies or not your nutrients, like, you had really good teeth until you got pregnant.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden your calcium probably was getting sucked out of you.
Yeah, I lost a tooth with each pregnancy.
Yeah. And it was just for no other reason than, like, so it's just simple thing like that.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and then there's sleep deprivation. New parents get less than 5 hours of uninterrupted sleep in the first year.
As a total for the whole year? No, sorry, per night.
Per night,
I'm sorry, I've been difficult. That's not many.
No, I was just thinking about it. New parents get less than 5 hours of uninterrupted sleep in the first year. I reckon that would be somewhat true when you think about your first year. We're talking about 5 hours uninterrupted from when you go to sleep to wake up. You don't wake up at any point. It's just straight sleep. In your first year, so this is obviously done on an average, how many nights would we have had in our first year where we could have had at least 5 hours uninterrupted?
It's hard to say.
In our first year.
I'm trying to think it through, because I definitely not in the first 6 months of how we've been.
Definitely not in the first six months.
I think because we tried to rotate, so you expressed, and then I would do like a 10 o'clock feed, I think it was at night.
Yeah.
So with the intention that you could go to sleep at like 8 and then then wake up at like 2 in the morning.
But I didn't ever get.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I couldn't go to sleep or, you know. So I think that's, you know, like, because you would get sleep through the night, but it would be broken.
Yeah.
You know, so you are sleeping, but it's broken sleep. So sleep deprivation is massive, and sleep deprivation can look very similar to depression.
Yeah.
Because your body is not coping, and then we don't eat properly, and we don't stay hydrated, and then we don't sleep properly, and it's just this vicious cycle. Hormonal shifts. So estrogen and progesterone. Yeah, drop significantly after birth. Estrogen and progesterone. You're like, oh, I need to look.
I need to look it up because I need to like see the word in front of me.
Yeah, here's the word. So you've got your hormonal shifts, you've got your hormonal changes that happen, and it happens significantly. So we have 9 months of shift and change within our bodies that our bodies get used to. Baby comes out and then boom, everything starts shifting again quite dramatically.
Yeah.
And I actually, I'm kicking myself now because I was reading something the other day and I didn't save the link. And it had a breakdown of, for the 2 years after a mother gives birth, what is happening in the mother's body at each kind of milestone moment, like after 3 months and at 6 months and at 9 months. And I was like, man, I wish I knew this before I had had children. But I will have to find that link again.
Mm.
So again, internally, there is a lot going on in a mother's body, shifting and changing. And I would say too, for the other parent, if they're sleep deprived, of course their hormones are going to be affected as well, because we need sleep for our bodies to replenish and renew what goes on in there to keep us working.
I think that's actually a good thing. Like if you haven't actually looked at what your body does when you sleep, it's actually quite fascinating. And it's a good study to do because at different stages and length, your body's doing different things to regenerate itself. So which is why it's actually good to know that. For knowing that when you're not sleeping, it's not able to do that.
Yeah. Mental load. So and this is often where I think this affects the other parent quite a lot. The ongoing stress of caring for a baby while balancing other responsibilities. And I think that one there and sleep deprivation can be big triggers for the other parent. Especially if they are working full time and are responsible for, you know, bringing the finances into the home or trying to take care of their partner, trying to take care of babies and learning how to be a parent themselves. So the mental load. Cultural expectations. So in Te Ao Māori, traditional practices like whānau support and kai nurturing help new parents recover. In Western society, there is pressure to bounce back quickly, leading to more depletion.
Yeah.
We've got to bounce back. You see that in the hospitals. You get turnover within 3 days, and then you only get a certain amount of time off work, and then you're expected to get back into it. The fourth trimester project, which is a book, highlights the societies with structured postpartum care have lower rates of maternal depletion.
Wow.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, it's good when you can throw stats like that. You know, this is what Western medicine says, but actually if you look at all the stats.
Yeah, if you look at everything. See which methods
actually work.
It's that community living.
Yeah, without all the medication, then it's pretty overwhelming evidence as to what works well and what doesn't.
Yeah. Okay, so how to recover from postnatal depletion? So replenish your nutrients. So prioritize iron, omega-3s, B vitamins, and magnesium.
And zinc. Because we talked about zinc.
And zinc.
That guy, zinc.
Oh, there's a little note here that in traditional Māori foods, rich in iron, was puha and seafood, and they support recovery.
Yeah, they got good omega-3.
Yeah, because it's fish.
Yep. Yeah, love me some seafood.
I think it's that be mindful of what are you putting into your body and is it going to replenish you? So you can eat healthy, but are you eating the right ones, the right healthy foods that are going to replenish certain nutrients, because not all nutrients are carried through all healthy foods.
Yeah.
Prioritize sleep. So co-sleeping safely, naps, and asking for help. That would be something I would do differently. I felt that I needed to bounce back quickly and that I couldn't sleep through the day. I had been told that by someone. If I find that you're just sitting on the couch napping, then, you know. But now, if I could change how I did babies, I would just rest more and sleep more and not worry about the house. And it's okay that if this is where I'm getting my nap, this is where I'm getting my nap.
If I came home from work and found you napping on the couch, I'd just put a blanket over you.
No.
That's right.
What about now?
Probably still just put a blanket over you.
Oh, that's cute.
Although I don't know how you'd sleep with that time with the kids.
I know.
Yep.
reduce the mental load. So lean on whānau, lean on community, lean on friends, neighbours, whoever those are, and delegate the tasks. One cool practical tip that we were told was write down on a list the things that you are wanting done in your home. Put it on the fridge. When people come around and they say, how can I help? Direct them to the list and say, there's a list on the fridge of things that I would love to have done for me. And then people know how they can help, and be okay to receive the help, because that's the other thing. Receive the help. People want to help. They want to bless. They want to give. So receive the help without feeling guilty, but be grateful. Feel grateful that you've got people that can come around and do these things for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think that is definitely, I don't know if I want to say generalize it to men, I think it's on a lot of people, but it's something I had to go on a journey for as well, because I was so good at wanting to help other people, but receiving help was really difficult, and I felt like I shouldn't be, it just was a bit of a block for me to go through.
Mm.
Now I'm quite the opposite way, where if someone wants to help, sometimes I don't even need it, but look, they're wanting to give to me, so I'll just like, sure.
Yeah.
And then I'll just redo what they did afterwards, but it's fine.
Yeah. You can use postpartum doulas, and so doulas will work with you and your whānau during your pregnancy and then after, and they'll come in and they'll cook for you and they'll do housework and or build a support network or put money aside in the budget to hire a cleaner. Like, find ways that you can take the pressure off yourself and your family, because it's always short term. You know, eventually you'll get back on top of yourself and you'll be ready to do some of that stuff again.
Yeah.
Embrace holistic well-being. So Te Whare Tapawha is a great model, and that's the model that we like to use within the Ruth Project. So you're looking at taha tinana, your physical, so that's nutrition, sleep, gentle and movement. So when you're looking at that, you're thinking, how is my body? How is my physical being? And so it's the same with wairua, whānau and hinenaro. So you use spiritual, family and mental. So it's taking time for self-reflection and connecting with nature, allowing others to help, seeking emotional support and reducing stress. And so if you break down those four walls, te whare tapawha, the four walls of your whare, where is the imbalance? Because in order for the roof of your whare to sit on there balanced, the four walls have to be equally balanced with each other. So where do you, and if you look at it that way, it's a bit easier to kind of figure out, oh, what is it that I'm needing right now? And meeting those needs for yourself.
Because you've also got a really great resource, which is that, you know, that flip book.
Yes.
Where you, especially if you can't really figure out what you are needing, this just gives you a good indication of what you're feeling, and then it kind of like what you need from someone as well, and you can just have it there and you put it on a place and you set it, and then people can come and look at it. But you know, yeah. So that you're the one who found those ones, weren't you?
Yep.
So having a resource like that as well in this space is actually really, really good, because it's just that way you can communicate to your partner, to your family, to other people, what is your feeling and what is you needing, without them having to without you having to engage in a conversation.
Okay, seeking professional help when needed. So is it a GP? Is it a therapist? Is it a naturopath? Do you need to look at rongoā, which is Māori medicine? There's so many different avenues with professional help or therapeutic help that you can go down, where you can have that little bit more intervention. So seek that help. Another bit of research insight, a study in Maternal and Child Health Journal for 2022 found that peer support significantly reduces postnatal mental distress.
Wow.
Which, again, you can see that because you're going through this journey with other people. It's shared experiences. It's shared feelings. You're supporting each other. It is that community. And people always say it takes a village to raise a family, But it really does. You need to have a community around you that you're actively giving and receiving with each other.
Yeah. I think, that's probably one of the bottom line things that would have been really good to have these conversations in the perinatal space. And not just like touched on, you need to, draw on your friends and stuff. Like actually having that community, there are so many things that it helps mitigate or helps to support and bring healing to. And like been establishing that well before you are in the space where you've had the child, like if we had done that and we'd known about it, how different would things have been?
Mm.
So I think as we keep going through the journey, that's actually one thing I identified as actually something that was really key, which we talked about in that space before when you're in the antenatal class and that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so as we come up to our closing thoughts, so today we've been talking about postnatal depletion. It's a real thing and it's not just baby blues. And if it's not dealt with, it can lead to postpartum depression and mental disorders. Postnatal depletion is something you can see in both parents. It's our nutrition, it's our rest, it's our mental load, it's cultural differences, it's the pressure and the stress that is put upon us as we are new parents, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. The encouragement from us is the reminder that recovery is possible with nutrition, with rest, and with support. And you owe it to yourself as a parent to value this in your life, like to value yourself, that you are important enough to you to seek support, receive help, feed yourself well, sleep well, rest when you need to rest. Like, you are worth it. And so finding that within yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Because fundamentally, that's something we talk about quite a bit, is the fact that you can't, like, if you're not looking after yourself, you can't look after your dependent to the correct effectiveness. You should. So going down the route of, I can't do this for myself because, I've got this child, is actually the wrong thinking. It's you need to, and you actually must do this for yourself so you can look after your child. And that is all the things you listed out.
Mm.
Making sure you're in a healthy space, making sure you are having the nutrients, having the rest, not putting that pressure on you, because by doing that, you'll be a much better parent.
Mm.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I hara taku toa I te toa takitahi, engare he toa takitene. My success is not mine alone, but it is the strength of many. Just as a little thought to leave with you there. So next week we are going to be talking about identity shift in parenthood. Who am I now? Another great topic. So we thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us once again, learning about postnatal depletion. We will be putting this up on our blog so that you can read through it. We'll have the links on there for some of the books and things. So if you're wanting to purchase them, you can. The Postnatal Depletion Cure book by Dr. Oscar, you can get pretty much anywhere. Mighty Ape, The Nile, bookshops, it's everywhere. So that's really easy to get your hands on. But otherwise, that is us for another week.
Excellent. We hope you have a fantastic rest of your week, fantastic break in the weekend.
Yeah.
And tune in next time.
Awesome. All right. See you later.
Bye.